الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمد عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام كل أمة دخل الجنة إلا أبا. قيل يا رسول الله من أبا؟ قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام من أطاني فقد دخل الجنة ومن أصاني فقد أبا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء اکرام, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the last kitab to follow, made us ummati of the last Nabi and Rasul of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy, natural, perfect deen to follow. Respected elders and brothers, you know the method that I utilize or use in bayans is first I talk. And you also know that when I sit, that you would listen for 1 hour. And after that, you can talk. And inshallah, if I know the answers, then I will respond. Many of you may have come, perhaps the Mufti is going to talk on a certain aspect or a certain line, or he's going to explain something. And when you hear in which direction I'm going to move this lecture, perhaps you'll feel that, no, what I came for, he did not speak about. And what I want to understand, he did not speak about. And what I want clarification about, he did not speak about. So you will be given your chance in question and answer time. And you can then pose your question and inshallah I'll field it, I'll try to answer it. There is a blue Jetta NJ20445 and also a Corolla, I think a white Corolla A5541 or something. I presume these cars are obstructing traffic. Respected elders, globally you know what is happening. And you know more hourly what is happening. And who to identify with? Who to regard as Mujahideen? Which group to join? Who must we say is on the right? Every person on the surface of the earth feels that he is gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every individual feels he's got a road or he's got a pattern whereby he can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight's discussion, I'm moving to discuss about the ideological differences we have with various groups and factions. First, non-Muslims, then those who claim to be Muslims, and those who are claiming to be super-Muslims, eventually giving you some positive direction who we should align ourselves with. In this age and time, you and I must realize which group is on the right, who you should follow, who I should follow, who I should support, who I should link myself with, and what is the truth of the matter. Respected elders, starting from the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus. Remember that the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus, these are all mushriks. They ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jews also ascribe partners by the way of saying Uzair is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Christians ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying that Isa alayhi salam is son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Hindus have got so many gods as totally the number of stars. Highlighting our difficulties or where they differ or where they went astray. First of all, in their adhyan, in their deens, in their religion, they had pious people, they had righteous people, and anbiya, they may have prophets. When their prophets performed any supernatural action, which we term as mu'jiza. Mu'jiza is a supernatural action attributed to a Nabi or a Rasul of Allah. Something that is khark-e-adat, like the fire burns, but the fire did not burn for Ibrahim alayhi salam. That the stick turned into a serpent for Musa alayhi salam. So this khark-e-adat, this miracle when attributed to a Nabi or Rasul, we call it a mu'jiza. When attributed to a wali, a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we say that's a karamat. And when attributed to a ordinary Muslim, we call that supernatural action a ma'unat. And when the supernatural action takes place at the hands of a kafir or mushrik, then we call that istikhraj. Now in Islam, when a supernatural action takes place at the hands of a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we regard that supernatural action as proof of nabuwat, as proof of risalat, not as proof of divinity, not as proof of godhood. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at his hands made him perform many mu'ajiza. But we as Muslims view this, that these are signs of nabuwat, these are signs of risalat, not that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ma'azallah, he is Allah. No. As far as karamat is concerned, saints, at sometimes they perform some miracles. In order for a saint to be classified a saint, he need not perform a miracle. A saint can live his entire life without performing a miracle and be classified as a saint because of his righteousness and piety. Unfortunately, what has happened today, that every person is saint. Every person is halfway there already, and thinking that his sainthood fell on him. And unfortunately, saint hero worship is becoming a cult and order of the day that we have to be very careful about. Respected elders, second point where these people went astray, these Jews, Hindus and Christians, that when they had the originals with them, then their disciples, they saw that you were doing these actions of righteousness and approached the priest that these scriptures tell us that the pious way like this and the righteous way like this. Where are you? What are you doing? So eventually what they had to do was to take out those good portions of piety and righteousness from the scriptures. When the disciples of those religions told them, see the pious way like this and the righteous way like this, You are not like this. So to avoid a confrontation, they remove these things from their divine text. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the help of Mujahideen like the Taliban today, we are proudly can say that what is written in our books, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended upon the Sahaba in Badr, upon the Sahaba in Uhud, upon the Sahaba in Hunayn. Today in Afghanistan we can see clearly that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending with them. And today we can see very easily that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we please Allah, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. The Allah that helped in Badr, the Allah is still present. The Allah that helped in Hunayn, the Allah is still present. The Allah that helped in Uhud, the Allah is still present. Provided that we have iman. Provided our iman is strong. Provided our iman is of that caliber to invoke the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us. Respected elders, as far as Shariat is concerned, concerning the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus, we can transact with them, we can deal with them, but we should not take them as our confidants. The error some Muslim leaders of our world are doing today is that we have taken these Jews and these Christians and these Hindus as our confidants. And this is what Islam and in the light of Shariat does not want us to do. Respected elders, when we now come to the kafir, kafir in Islam is one who denies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and the one who denies the boons and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In technical language, if you pick up an Arabic dictionary and if you look for what you call a farmer in Arabic, then you will come to the word kafir. In Arabic we call a farmer kafir. And the reason why we call him this is because the farmer, he takes a seed and he takes the seed and he plants it under the soil. He hides the seed from the light of the rays of the sun. He conceals the seed. The kafir conceals the truth. He hides the truth. And he runs away from the hidayat of the Tawheed. He runs away from Tawheed. That is why we call him a kafir. He denies the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the boons and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, respected elders, we come to those people who say, no, we are Muslims. Taking first the Qadianis. The Qadianis are split into two groups. One is Qadianis as aligned themselves, saying that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad is a prophet of Allah. And there is one called the Lahori Qadianis. The Lahori Qadianis, they have got a famous scholar, Muhammad Ali, who wrote one book, The Religion of Man, which was used in your local university as a reader at one stage. Respected elders, we have got highlighting three problems. One is, they stated that this person, Mirza, is a prophet of Allah. And we know that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last Nabi. He's the last Rasul. They stated, no, Isa Alayhi Salaam is coming. Then we say that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, he will come as a ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, not as a new prophet. Respected elders, you must follow me and understand. Follow me and understand me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect my iman and your iman at the end of this. But you'll know exactly what to do. Because the Western media is now going to utilize everything to disunite us. And if we do not understand which platform to stand on united, they are going to cause havoc amongst us. Respected elders, Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, he will come as a ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then they say, no, because the Ahl-e-Sunnah wal-Jamaat stated that wahi has terminated, Then when Isa alayhi salam comes, he'll be a Nabi of Allah, a Rasul of Allah, he'll get wahi. Then wahi has not terminated. So the common Muslim now is worried. What to do? Now understand that there are various levels and types of wahi. One is wahi matlu, and one is ghair matlu, and one is wahi tashri. Wahi matlu is often recited wahi, that is Quran al-Kareem. Another name for that is wahi jali. And wahi ghair matlu is the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, non often recited wahi, or wahi khafi. But the wahi that differentiates a Nabi from a non-Nabi, from a Rasul from a non-Rasul, is wahi tashrihi. That is canon law wahi. Wahi, divine revelation, protected revelation, which formulates the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Isa alayhi salam will get wahi, he will not get wahi that alters the shariat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. He will get wahi, but he will not get a new shariat. He will get wahi saying him what, inspiring him what to do, but he will not get wahi to abrogate or change the deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because that is complete. Thirdly, concerning these Qadianis, because they were British backed and they wrote books upon books concerning one important aspect, and he wrote this and he tried to indoctrinate the Muslims that jihad has been abrogated. Understand where they are coming from, these British and these Americans who are not our well wishers. They propped this fellow up and they made him say that jihad is abrogated, meaning fighting for ilahi kalimatullah, to uplift the deen of Allah, to uplift the kalima of Allah, to protect the iman of Muslims, to protect the life of the entire mankind. They say that is abrogated, that is no more. And remember clearly, respected elders, whether we accept it or whether we do not accept it, that jihad, according to Imam Muhammad, student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he writes in Mabsood clearly that jihad is farz upon every Muslim. Jihad is farz upon every Muslim, and the person who denies the obligatory nature of jihad is out of the fold of Islam. And the person who deliberates whether jihad is farz or not is misled. And today we have taken this concept of jihad very lightly. Why? Because we are living a life of complacency, of ease and comfort, aish and aram. Everything is found for us. We do not even know what goes on in the life of a mujahideen for even 1 hour. But remember, the jihad is obligatory, it is farz, it is necessary. Sooner or later, someone has to do it. And we have to know when the call comes for us to do it, and we have to take question whether we are ready. And they had this Qadiani fellow going around and saying, no, jihad is abrogated. No more. Why? So that the Muslims must not fight against the British, the Muslims must not fight against Batil, that the Muslims must remain passive. There is no concept in Islam that a person smacks you on the right cheek, that you offer him the left cheek. The concept in Islam is that if he hits you on the right cheek, you stamp him. And you be violent with him if he tramps your rights and takes your rights. Respected elders, the second Lahori group, their problem is, now understand, that a person who is a kafir cannot be a reformer in Islam. A person who is out of the fold of Islam, he cannot be a reformer in Islam, because he is not even a Muslim. How can a non-Muslim be a reformer in Islam? The Lahori Qadiani group came up with the concept that no, he's not a prophet, he's a reformer. When all the ulama of the world said that this person is an imposture, is a liar, is a deceiver, is a fraud, and he is the one claiming Nabuwat, and Nabuwat has terminated with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore he's a liar and out of the fold of Islam, how can he even be a reformer? It is like saying that some kafir is a reformer in Islam, is telling us what to do. So the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus, they cannot be our friends. Neither the Qadianis, we remove them from the scene. Now we have got those who pose, even the Qadianis, externally they pose like Muslims. And they perform like Muslims. But because of their belief, they do not form part of the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat, let alone that, they are not even in the fold of Islam. And unity in Islam is based upon aqaid, upon beliefs, not upon only temporary amal. The unity in Islam is based upon belief, ideology, philosophy, those things, not upon only action. A person, he can eat halal meat, face the Qibla, make salat, read the Quran al-Kareem, wear a hat, adorn a turban, put on a kurta, have a flowing beard, but be completely out of the fold of Islam because of his belief. Now we come to the Shias. Externally they look Muslim. And respected elders, we have got few questions for them. Not getting into any academic heavy discussion, but to leave you with something that whenever you confront them, you can talk to them also. One is that their kalima, our kalima is very simple, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Having this, they have got a kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Ali Wasiullah, Ali Waliullah, Ali Khalifatullah, Ali Khalifatullah bila fasr. All these additions that they have come across, all these additions that they have put, all these additions which they have fabricated, all these additions which they are propagating viciously, our question and your question to them will be very simple. Show us in the Quran where this kalima is. Your additional kalima, because you accept the Quran, you say, we accept the Quran. Show us in the Quran where is this kalima. And you accept, because the Shias do not want to accept Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in, but they accept Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his statements and his words. So we say that show us one time or one place or one statement of Hazrat Ali that he said read this extra kalima. Show us in, from your own books, that Hazrat Ali said, radiallahu ta'ala, who read this kalima that you have fabricated. Because you do not want to accept our statement and our proof and our deductions from our side. So you show us your kalima from Hazrat Ali, radiallahu ta'ala. Then they have got a concept of imams. So we say that Hazrat Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, after him Hazrat Hassan, radiallahu ta'ala, after him Hazrat Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala, after him Hazrat Zainul Abidin, Ramatullah alayhi. After him, Imam Jafar Sadiq, Ramatullah alayhi. After him, Musa Ali, and Nahi Ali, and Asghari. From all or any one of them, 12 Imams, any one of them, who said, read this new kalima. It is your, their kalima. They must prove it. The onus is upon them. They are saying it. We can show you from Quran al-Kareem that our kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, is in the Quran al-Kareem. So one basic thing, basic different, kalima is different. Respected elders, then we come to the Quran al-Kareem. The Quran al-Kareem, again avoiding the academic discussion, we ask them, that where in Iran, because at the moment that is their headquarters and they propagate what we call Isna Sharia Shiaism, where in the entire Iran they have got a Hibs Madrasa? In the entire Iran, where is the Hibs Madrasa? If you love the Quran, if you believe in the Quran, then you should produce some Hafizes. So in the entire Iran, where is your Hibs Madrasa? How many Hafizes have you produced? When is the Hibs Jalsa that we can attend? To read the Quran, the Hindu gurus were reading Quran. Up to today they read Quran and they read sometimes better Quran than us. To read the Quran, to recite the Quran, to articulate the Quran with tajweed, is no proof that a person is Muslim. Respected elders, then we come to the Quran Kareem. The Quran Kareem, again avoiding the academic discussion, we ask them that where in Iran, because at the moment that is their headquarters and they propagate what we call Isna Sharia, Shiaism, where in the entire Iran they have got a Hifz Madrasa? In the entire Iran, where is the Hifz Madrasa? If you love the Quran, if you believe in the Quran, then you should produce some Hafizes. So in the entire Iran, where is your Hifz Madrasa? How many Hafizes have you produced? When is the Hifz Jalsa that we can attend? To read the Quran, the Hindu gurus were reading Quran. Up to today they read Quran and they read sometimes better Quran than us. To read the Quran, to recite the Quran, to articulate the Quran with tajweed, is no proof that a person is Muslim. Understand this very clearly. Get one Iranian Qari, read a beautiful Quran, and unfortunately all of you will go there. And when the ulama tell you, do not go there, that these people are reading the Quran, they are not Muslim, it does not make sense. Where is their Hifz Madrasa? And in the month of Ramadan, you and I are blessed that we come and read Taraweeh Salah, 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah. In the whole of Iran, where are they performing Taraweeh Salah? Where is the Shia Hafiz making Taraweeh Salah? If you have got love for the Quran, if you've got attachment for the Quran, if you respect the Quran, if you believe in the Quran, you'll make the Hafiz. If you do not believe in the Quran, how are you going to produce the Hafiz? So second basic difference, one is the Kalima, second is the Quran Kareem. Thirdly, respected elders, wherever they worship the Shias, they never ever call it Masjid. They call their places of worship Makan or Imam Bara. They never ever call it Masjid. And in the Quran it is replete, and there are numerous ahadith where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying about Man Bana Masjid, whosoever builds a Masjid. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking of Masjid. Allah Ta'ala is talking of Masjid. And these people are talking of places of worship, not Masjid, Makan or Imam Bara. So the kalima is different. They're not interested in the Quran. They say that their place of worship also is different. Fourthly, respected elders, and this Makan also, we would like them to show from the Quran and the sayings of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and their imams that said build Imam Bara or build Makan, not Masjid. Azan, respected elders, when they give Azan, they add these words, Ali, Waliullah, Wasiullah. One simple brother one day, whilst we were performing Hajj, he said, that these Shias or these Iranians, what is the difference? So I said, carry on performing Hajj with us, you'll see. When in Arafat, he comes running to me, he says, Ufti, these people got different Azan. I said, listen to it. Openly in Arafat they call the Azan, which is fabricated, which is wrong. We are saying that that Azan that you are calling, prove it from your own textbooks, that that Azan that you are calling is valid, is authentic, is reliable. Say Hazrat Ali said you must call that Azan. Prove it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who said call that Azan. Prove it that all the 12 Imams said call that Azan. Imam Zainul Abidin, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Zainul Abidin Ramatullah alayhi, Hazrat Jafir Sadiq Ramatullah alayhi, Hazrat Musa Askari, Hazrat Ali Daqi, all of them, which one of them said that make this Azan in this particular fashion and method? Another point, come Muharram, they have what we call matam, mourning, and they beat their chest up, Hassan Hussein, Hassan Hussein, and
They draw blood from each other, cutting themselves with razors, knives, etc. Here, if you are in those countries, the Shia orator or the Shia speaker is called a Zakir. And when he leads this Matam proceedings and march, then look at him carefully. He'll only touch himself. He'll touch himself. Meanwhile, his whole congregation is bleeding. You understand? He only touched himself, Hassan Hussein, and his congregation is bleeding. We are saying, proof from the Quran, that you must bleed, you must cut yourself, and you must harm yourself, you must injure yourself, and you must weep, you must cry. We are saying, say only one statement of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he said, make matam. Show us only one statement of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Show us one statement from any of your imams, any of your imams, that make matam, make it like this, beat yourself, kill yourself, injure yourself, harm yourself, put yourself in difficulties and undue duress. So respected elders, Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh, once Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came in his dream. He asked Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, concerning the Shias, what I must look at? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that look at their concept of imamology, imamat. And now that is a lengthy discussion. What is their concept of imamology? Basically, the imam can make halal, haram, haram, halal. The imam, he can abrogate the deed. The imam, he comes with the new shariat. The imam gets wahi. The imam abrogates what is before him. The imam, he gets wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The imam, according to them, knows the unseen. The imam, he has got tremendous knowledge. And when you come to him, he knows which route you came from, what you ate for supper and for dinner. And the imam knows when he's going to die, how he's going to die. Withstanding all that, they all say all the imams got poisoned. Respected elders, then they say the imam, he is not born naturally, but he's born from the thigh of his mother. So funny, strange beliefs they have got. So these people, respected elders, are not in the fold of Islam. And do not be afraid to say it. I'm saying it nicely, clearly, openly. Have some courage. Let some blood flow in your heart and your head. Do not be afraid, respected elders. Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullah Alayh, someone asked him, are the Shias Muslims? They asked him, are the Shias Muslims? He stated, when they entered Islam. When they entered Islam to be taken out of the fold of Islam. So first of all, they're not even classified Muslims. And these days what has happened, that because they now and then create some mujahideen activity, so we get confused. Now the true colors are coming out, who they're siding when they have come to the crossroads. Now the true colors are coming out. They are very pleased with their masters, USA, etc. And remember, respected elders, that the USA is not our friend. And the United Nations is another name for the USA. And the relationship between the USA and the UN has given birth to an illegitimate child called Israel, which hasn't learned to walk yet. So the Jews, the Christians and the Hindus, we know their position. The Kafir, we know his position. The Qadianis, we know their position. The Shias, we know their position. Now we have got two more groups to discuss before you can talk. One is the Ahle Quran. Understand their standpoint. And they are spreading, unfortunately, in our country. What happens in our country is that we do not academically gear up ourselves. And we do not learn about our deen. And when the fitna of a new ideology comes, then you are to run and find out what is happening. Meanwhile, we should be studying, we should be educated, and we should be aware that these things exist. Ahle Quran say that the Quran is sufficient for us. The Quran is adequate for us.
We do not require anything else. The Quran is the divine kitab, and that is sufficient for us. We do not require anyone else. That is their basic bottom line, punchline. And they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and save us, that they say Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like a postman. That he came with the Quran, he gave it, he delivered it, now he's gone. Like how the postman comes and delivers your letter. Once he delivers your letter, his responsibility is finished, his duty is finished, now he can go away. These foolish people say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like a postman. He came, he left the Quran, and he's gone. And they say everything can be received from the Quran, deduced from the Quran, ascertained from the Quran, obtained from the Quran. We do not require any other source of argumentation. We do not require any source of deduction or substantiation besides the Quran al-Karim. Our reply is very simple. Once we went to one country, and in that country, in a certain area, there was a person who began to spread this ideology. And rather said that Muslim, because he does not know his own belief, he has not understood his own belief, he has not understood that he is from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, and what is the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, what are their beliefs, that is why any ideology you sell to him, he buys it. So he was causing some difficulty. So we sent a message to him that we want to talk to him. We want to discuss with him. At first he said, no, he does not want to discuss. Then he said, no, I am prepared to take on any alim. And I am prepared to take on any morana or mufti. I am prepared to have a debate with them. Anytime, any place. So we said, that's interesting, we are coming. We made an appointment, we had a meal, and then we made salat. And that person also made salat. Made wuzu with us, made salat with us. Then when the discussion opened, we asked him that, listen, you made wuzu. And you made wuzu near us, in front of us. We saw you how you made wuzu. Can you show us this wuzu in the Quran al-Karim? The details of this wuzu that you made in front of us, can you show us in the Quran al-Karim? The sequence that you followed, can you show us in the Quran al-Karim? The method that you did the wuzu, can you show us in the Quran al-Karim? The minute details of this wuzu that you did to make the salat, can you show us in the Quran al-Karim? You made salat with us. Can you tell us why you did the salat? Why that number of rakats? Why four rakats for Isha, two Sunnah, three Witr? Show us in the Quran. Show us in the Quran that why do you make two for Fajr? Why you make four for Zuhur, four for Asr, three for Maghrib, four for Isha? Show us this four, three, two in the Quran al-Karim. You stood up and then you went for Ruku and then you went for Sijda. Show us in the Quran al-Karim that this is the sequence. Why you never dive into sijda first and then go into ruku and then stand up? You give zakat, you say you give zakat. Who told you to give 2.5%? Where is it? Tell us the details about the zakat. The minute details, 1,000 laws over there on zakat alone. Tell us about these details. How they are in the Quran, where they are in the Quran, which ayats have got this. When you go for Hajj, you go from Makkah to Mina, Mina to Arafat, Arafat to Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah to Mina to tell the big shaitan and then go back for Tawaf and Ziyarah. Show us in the Quran. Then you tell the shaitan the next day, the small one, the middle one, the big one, show us the sequence. You fell to 7 stones, show us in the Quran. You make Tawaf, show us in the Quran. How you make Tawaf? Clockwise, anti-clockwise, show us in the Quran. So respected elders, and they originated in Lahore from a Parvez group, and their first magazine was a magazine called Tulu Islam.
rise of Islam. So we ask them, what you think Islam is sleeping, but you want it to rise. These people, respected elders, who say that Quran is sufficient, and Quran alone is sufficient, and we do not require Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sunnah or ahadith, they are out of the fold of Islam. Because, respected elders, they are showing disrespect to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are dishonoring Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The purpose of his coming, the purport of his coming, the reason for his coming, and there is a discussion, sometimes we'll make it for you. One is the Kitabullah, the book of Allah, and one is the Rijal of Allah, the men of Allah. And the Kitabullah will come with the Rijalullah, and the Rijalullah, the men of Allah, will come with the Kitabullah to explain the Kitab of Allah, to elucidate the Kitabullah, to show the practicality of the Kitabullah. Now, respected elders, the Jews, Christians, Hindus, Kafirs have been taken care of. You know about the Qadianis, the two groups, and the Shias, and of the Ahl Quran. Now, over the whole world, and I've addressed you in this masjid on why to follow one imam of fiqh, and our book has come out of that. But to simplify that discussion and to bring it to your notice, there is an international work now, an international movement to degrade the imams of fiqh, of jurisprudence, to degrade the scholars of fiqh, and to tell the public Quran and Hadith is sufficient. Quran and Hadith is sufficient. You do not require the imams of fiqh. You should leave Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. You should leave Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh. You should leave Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. You should leave Imam Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. You do not have to follow them. You do not have to listen to their interpretations. You just have to be direct. Quran, Hadith. You have to be direct. They say, no, you have got ability, you have got capability. You can read the Quran, you can understand the Hadith. You carry on, you interpret, and you make your own deen. And this fitna, this trial and tribulation, has reached such levels that unfortunately, in the haram, some of the speakers in the haram openly criticize Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Of late now, because the ulama at Deoband have taken a proper solid stand and have written to them, they have now put a ban and said no one can say any word against Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Why? Because the ulama at Deoband took a strong stand and told them that they should abstain from this. But now, to explain in simple language, again not academic language, that in Islam, the sources of derivation, the sources of deduction, or the sources of argumentation, or the sources to prove a point in Islam are four. One is Quran, second is Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, third is the Ijma, consensus of opinion of the Sahaba and subsequent scholars. There's a detailed discussion about that. And Qiyas, Shari deduction by analogy on the principles elucidated in the Quran and Sunnah. Point I want to explain to you is the Sunnah contains the Hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not contain the entire Sunnah. Those who say, no, Quran, Hadith, Quran, Hadith, what they tell you, no, you will just follow Quran, Hadith, you are successful. We say to that person, that show us in the Quran and Hadith, we make Zuhur Salat silently. We make Asr Salat loudly. Loudly you do it. Softly. You do it softly also. Why you do it softly? You make Zuhur Salat softly. You make Asr Salat softly. Where in the Hadith he told you to do that? Which Hadith tells you, ask this person who says Quran, Hadith, which Hadith? Let's bring it for you. Which Hadith tells you, you will make Zuhur softly, Asr softly, Maghrib loudly, Isha loudly, Fajr loudly. Which hadith? So you must bring you how many hadiths? Five, is it? Five hadiths. One to prove that Zohar you make softly, Asr you make softly, Maghrib you made loudly, Isha you made loudly, and Fajr you made loudly. We'll bring you one hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif. Rasulullah ﷺ made Asr loudly. You understand what I'm saying? That the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, which has reached us via transmission, authentic, reliable transmission, states that we have to make the Zuhur silently, Asr silently, and that the remaining three salat audibly. Then you ask him that when you came for Isha Salat, you made an intention. Ya Allah, I'm going to make four rakats of Isha Salat. That's what you did, isn't it? Tell him, show you one hadith. One hadith. Where it is stated you must make this niyat. The niyat of your Farz Salat, the niyat of your Witr Salat, the niyat of your Nafil Salat. Bring one authentic, reliable hadith for that. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? Then you tell him, bring one hadith. One hadith that you must read your tasbihat in your ruku and your sajda, you must read it softly. The imam must read it softly and the muqtadi must read it softly. Bring hadith for us. Bring hadith for us that the imam must read and the muqtadi must remain silent. Or the imam must read aloud and all the muqtadis also must read aloud. We say the imam must read and everybody must remain behind him silently. Respected elders, so these people are causing dissension, division, differences in the Muslim Ummah and making us fight amongst ourselves. Now the answer is that why four imams? Why not five imams? Why not six? That's one question. Secondly, that why don't we just combine these four imams? Understand? Because everybody is right. Our answer is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us that we have got four. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this number four. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this number four, and when He has restricted that we follow these four, then we accept it. There are four seasons. There are four chemical compositions in the body. There are four major angels. There are four great Anbiya alayhi salam. There are four directions, there are four seasons, and there are four major kitabs, there are four major angels, there are four imams, there are four ways of tasawuf, which we generally follow. There are four directions. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this figure, and He has approved of it, we got no say in it. Now when Allah has given us four roads, in one bayan I said that Allah has given us four roads to climb the mountain and reach the peak. Four roads. So now if a person, what is logical? A person must see, when he starts one road, must he now decide while he's climbing, no, I'll take the other road. If he decides to do, keep changing the roads while climbing the mountain to the peak, then he'll never reach the peak. But if he decides to go onto this road, to the peak of the mountain, then inshallah he'll reach the peak of the mountain sooner or later. Slowly, but he'll get there. But he'll get there. That is one. Secondly, if your beloved one, someone whom you love, someone whom you cherish and love, someone whom you like, your mother, your father, your baby, your child, someone whom you have got good love for, and you, that person falls sick. And if you take that beloved one to doctors, and you take them to four doctors, and four doctors say four different things, what will you do? What will you do, respected elders? Rationally, logically, you will say that I cannot take these four, the treatment of these four, I'll have to take the treatment of one. Because if I have to take the treatment of the four, then that will be disastrous, and that will be detrimental, and that will ruin the health of the ailing sick one. That is logical, respected elders. So yeah, when we have got Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, then we take one road, we adhere to it, we stick to it, and we carry on with that route that takes us to the success. Now, understand it in a different way. Now you will understand with this example. If you go to four doctors, and these four doctors give four different types of medicine, what do you do? Take all four medicines. Do you take all the four medicines, or do you take one medication? Respected elders, you got two options. One is that you say, no, I'll place my confidence in this doctor and take his medicine. The other one is that I'll say no, which is detrimental, that because they say, what the doctor say, you must take the medicine 6 hourly. So, first 6 hours, one doctor's medicine. Next 6 hours, next doctor's medicine. Third 6 hours, next doctor's medicine. Fourth 6 hours, the patient is dead by then. What do you think? Look. We are saying the same thing, that one doctor, one specialist, one expert in jurisprudence, we place our confidence in. Abu Hanifa Ramtulale, Imam Shafi Ramtulale, we place our confidence in that, and we say, I'm accepting his rule, his understanding. And understand, the imams of jurisprudence do not make the law. They expand the law. They explain the law. They elucidate the law. They do not fabricate the law. They do not concoct the law. What is hidden, the jewels and the pearls which are hidden in the ocean, they bring it up to the public to see. They do not make the jewels and the pearls. They just bring it up for us to see. The propaganda against the imams is, they are making the law. They are fabricating the law. They are deducing the law by sheer intelligence. No. The law is there. You and I do not have the capacity and ability to see that law. They have got the insight, wisdom, piety, taqwa to see it, and they have brought it for us to see. We see it. They are not making it. They are explaining it to us. So, respected elders, now we have got the Jews, Christians, Hindus out, and the Kafirs. Got the Qadianis out, the Shias out, the Ahl al-Quran out, and the Ahl al-Hadith, they are not part of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat. Understand that very clearly. Now there is two discussions left. Allah Ta'ala grant us life. When I come back sometime, I'll explain it. The discussion is that we are saying you must follow the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat. But in order to explain to you who the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat is, there's one other group I have to talk to you about. We will take another half an hour, but I'm not going to talk now. That group is the Ahl al-Bidat, the innovators, the Bidatis, and how to recognize the innovation, and what is Bidat, how Bidat comes into action, who is a Bidati, what is the law of the Bidati, how he concocts the Bidat, and you'll be surprised, many of us are Bidatis. When we define that, and when we explain that, and when we tell you what is this about, how Bidat is, and the definition, and the meaning, and the explanation of it, then we can explain to you who is the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. That requires half an hour to explain to you the term Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. But the direction is very clear. We are not Jews, alhamdulillah. We are not Christians, alhamdulillah. We are not idol worshippers. We are not mushriks, alhamdulillah. We are not kafirs. We are not Qadianis, we are not Shias, we are not Ahl-Quran, we are not Ahl-Hadith. We belong to the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat. So the Mujahideen which affiliate to the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat, that is the group that we should affiliate ourselves with. We should sympathize with that group. Be with that group. Make dua for that group. Because alhamdulillah, we can proudly say that the Taliban at the moment are from the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat. And the Western world wants to destroy them because they are that sole country at the moment in the entire world that is implementing Sharia, that is bringing the Sharia of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the land and is practicing upon the Sharia of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is why the US wants to manipulate support somehow or the other and try to destroy those Afghanis, those Taliban. And minimum we can do is to make dua for them. And if it is possible, contribute to them. If it is more possible, to go and join them and to fight against these oppressive people who are trying to rule this world
by force and bullying tactics and by using oppressive and tyrannical methods upon us and manipulating those leaders whom they have got in their hands. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.